you hear me? Is this mic on? Hello, everyone. Welcome to Working Things Out. This is Diana Navarro, your host, and it's a pleasure to welcome you back to another wonderful edition of Working Things Out on the Syntonic Broadcasting Network. I'm very, very excited to be here, as I usually am, usually, because sometimes I'm not too excited. But today, I'm extra excited. And first, I want to welcome Val back. We missed her so much, and I love Betty. She kept the show going. The Val and Betty, Betty Val show. I always mix up the names because I love to keep it equal. And they're going to have their show later on at 9 o'clock. Johnny Anello's after me, but I'm here now. And I have to tell you that workingthingsout.com is all about all things intuitive, using common sense, and the rational meeting the supernatural. I just make these things up as I go along.
You're doing.
Okay, I just got to introduce you because I'm so excited. I'm half today back. Some of my favorite guests that I've had in the show, because it's my favorite topic, which is the paranormal. And I want to welcome back Larry Hewitt.
Hello.
You were kind of regular for a while, too. We did like this.
And now I'm quite irregular.
Tell me about it. So that's what that look was. I thought you were just hitting on me.
No, it's been a while.
Okay. From Acme Paranormal, among many other organizations. And the wonderful Dan Sturgis from Sturgis Paranormal.
Hello, Diana. How are you?
I'm great.
Hello, Larry.
Hello, Dan. I'm just dandy.
Excellent.
Oh, we're going to have so much fun today. Imagine we have nothing else to say. That's it?
Yeah, that's it. Thanks very much, boys. It's been a great night.
Tip your waitress.
And I know that we were going to have Dom V come here today, but he couldn't make it. But we say hello to him.
Dom.
And he's here in spirit. No pun intended. And he's welcome to call if he wants to join us in the conversation and talk about anything he wishes to talk about. So since you guys are multidimensional, you do very, very many different things.
I spend most of my time on other dimensions, actually.
You know, sometimes there's a lot of fun on the other side, on those other sides. But the things that brings us here in common is the whole subject of paranormal investigations, research, and interest. So we're going to talk about that today, and we're going to talk about anything you want to bring up. I'm going to ask you questions. I don't know what those questions are yet. I'm going to, you know, do a little breathing and meditation as you guys are talking. But before we get started, I want to just mention a couple of things. I've had the pleasure and honor of knowing some wonderful people, musicians and directors, and Pierre Stefanos just had a birthday. He is a film director. And he has a movie called Bedfellows, and it's going to be featured in the Duo Theater, D-U-O Theater, and that's on 62nd East 4th Street, and that's going to be on Saturday, February 12th, 2011, because, you know, these shows are archived, we never know, at 8 p.m. And Pierre Stefanos, we're here in New York City, by the way, even though we broadcast to the world, but we are here in New York. Pierre is a wonderful film director, an incredible human being, very funny and sweet as pie. We take the best pictures together. Random thoughts. So he's going to be again at the Duo Theater, 62 East 4th Street. That's going to be on February 12th, starting at 8 p.m. The movie is Bedfellows. So if you look at the title, it has an interesting theme to it, so I would watch it. Very interesting. Also, one of my favorite people in the world. I have a lot of favorite people. David Vernon, wonderful vocalist, sings like an angel, literally. One of the most beautiful voices I've ever heard. He has a show coming up on Saturday, February 19th, starting at 7 p.m. at the Laurie Beecham Theater at the West Bank Cafe, and that is on 407 West 42nd Street, and it's on 9th Avenue. So he's going to be doing a thing called Compositions too, all these wonderful composers and musics and songs and all these wonderful good stuff. And then tonight, if you are in the city already and you want to make it to Nino's Positano's restaurant, Sandy Jordan and friends is going to be singing. She's going to be singing and doing a lot of musical fun stuff over there. This restaurant is 892nd Avenue. God, I suck at doing announcements. I just suck at it. 892nd Avenue between 47th and 48th Street. And I'm going to be doing maybe some psychic readings there, some intuitive readings. So if anybody wants to stop by after 8 o'clock, we're going to be there singing, talking, eating, doing
readings. Maybe you should sing your readings.
Maybe it's just a good idea.
You know, like yeah. like singing telegrams.
Yes, yeah. Hello, you're gonna die. But don't tell anybody. Bye, bye, bye. Okay, so maybe not. So with those announcements said, I want to welcome you back, Larry.
Thank
and,
you.
And you know, Dan, I have so many questions. Number one, how did you guys meet? And did you know each other before today?
Well, Larry was dancing in a club downtown.
Right. And
Dan
stuffed some dollar bills into my G-string.
He looked like he needed
that's
a good
how we
meal.
First met.
No, the paranormal community in New York for the last couple of years has been exploding, but years ago there was just
you
a
might have heard the sound.
Yes, we did. It was a sonic boom.
Years ago, it was just
and you thought it was just your next door neighbor with the gas.
No, I was going to say you're being irregular.
Larry being irregular. But we connected just through the paranormal world and also with Dom V. I knew Dom and got in touch with Larry. Larry and I have been on an investigation or two together and looking forward
Merchant
to
House.
Some more. Yep, looking forward to some more. So.
Absolutely, and I want to be part of that.
And now we're pals. You're more than welcome.
But not as a psychic, just as an observer.
Yeah,
I just want to observe.
No, no one observes.
Nobody observes.
Everyone works.
You pick up those. You make those things levitate.
We'll talk afterwards. You'll be alone in the dark with a video camera.
Oh no,
sure.
That sounds really actually very exciting.
It certainly does.
It can be.
Well, do tell. So I want to, I guess I can start with whoever wants to begin. I know that you have each been on the show before, and you've told us all about your histories and how you got interested in the paranormal world or the research of supernatural, whatever you want to call it. But maybe you want to refresh our memories for those tuning in for the first time. You know, whoever wants to start. You
know. Okay.
We'll have Larry.
I've been interested in the paranormal since I was a teenager. I got some old, dusty books from my local library on parapsychology, where they suggested experiments like flipping a coin a few hundred times to see if it would come up heads or tails in a statistically significant way that might prove that there was some paranormal energy in the room that you were in.
Mm-hmm.
I also had an interesting experience where I was visited by someone, I believe it was an older woman that, you know, now that I believe they're called cougars, actually.
Excuse me.
who,
not there are any cougars here today, right?
Gently, this was a woman without a body, I will say.
So was that a succubus?
And who gently stroked my hair as I lay in bed, and I could actually see the mattress, you know, go down as she sat down
wow.
next to me. That was
mm-hmm.
that freaked me out. That was my first experience when I was about 14.
Very interesting.
And ever since then, I was pretty interested in the stuff.
Yes. So you went from researching it yourself to exploring it with other people, experiencing
it? For a long time, I was just sort of, you know, in the research mode, you know, rather than sort of going out and actively investigating. I was very interested in the parapsychology side of it.
And if you can just refresh us, parapsychology is the field of one of the branches of psychology that...
Well, it's what psychology can't explain. So in other words, things that are beyond psychology, mm-hmm. beyond the constraints of the human brain, I mm-hmm. guess you could say. Things like psychic abilities.
Yes.
ESP.
Extrasensory perception.
Right.
MMIs,
mind-matter interaction, mm-hmm. and then survivalism.
Right. Psychokinesis,
right.
things
yes.
like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's really the realm of parapsychology, as well as the survival of consciousness after death,
right.
which we would call ghosts.
Right. Interesting, huh? Spirits. And just to quickly ask you a quick question, Dan, since we mentioned parapsychology, you
yes.
had an announcement to make about the field, right?
Well, just beginning in the fall, I believe it'll be in the fall of this year, Atlantic University, if you go to their website, they will be offering a master's program in parapsychology, and it will be the first time since 1980 that an accredited university, and accredited by the... by a organization that is given the thumbs up by the United States Department of Education.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of places will accredit themselves, but this place
that's
is...
True,
is
that's true, that's
yeah,
true.
This is the real deal, and they'll be offering a master's program.
Mm.
So for the first time in a very long time, you'll be able to get an advanced degree in parapsychology, which is pretty exciting.
It's an incredible breakthrough again because it's just
a great sign that parapsychology is kind of this, for lack of a better word, fringe science is moving into the mainstream again, because it was for a very long time.
Yes, it was.
It's the only place now in this country where you can get.
Well, you'll be able to get a master's.
Right.
Hopefully,
they'll lead the way to other organizations.
Other places will lead the charge.
Yeah,
I mean,
let me tell you.
Or you'd have to go to Aberdeen, and that's what.
Yeah.
Where's Aberdeen? So it's a serious question. I remember when I was exploring going into academia. I have a psychology major, a master's and a bachelor's, and I was in a PhD program. And if it was up to me, I would have definitely studied parapsychology, but instead I studied organizational behavior,
right,
which is just as spooky.
You gotta make a living.
Well, as you can see. But
I've met some very scary HR people.
Let me tell you, PhD people, I didn't get my PhD because I was just too sane. Yeah. I was just too sane for the program. They were just nuts. But it's a wonderful field. I give everybody credit who finishes, their dissertation and all that stuff. Dan, tell me about a little bit of your history, if you don't mind refreshing our memory for those who didn't tune in the first time. Shame on them.
Sure.
How did you become interested in this wonderful, exciting field?
Well, like Larry, it's always been an interest since I was young, and put it on the back burner for a long time, and got involved in sports and girls and
crazy goyles.
Again, we talked about paranormal.
Hey.
But, put it on the back burner and just, did a lot of reading on my own. And now as an adult or a grown-up or whatever you might want to call it, I was given the opportunity to be able to explore a little bit more. And I got into Civil War history. And, anywhere you go, I like to visit all the battlefields on the East Coast, and any battlefield you go to has a haunted bed and breakfast, for sure. So in Gettysburg, I had stayed at a haunted bed and breakfast and met a group of people who were doing a paranormal investigation, and they were pretty cool, and I dug it. And when I came back to New York, I discovered Dom V, and we hooked up and started doing this in New York.
Hey, Dom, I hope you're listening.
So, Dan, were you a Civil War reenactor?
No.
If you were, I could see you as a cannon, perhaps.
it's interesting because Betty, our engineer, and also Betty, the host of her own show with Val and Betty here, and our engineer, she's had some interesting experiences in areas, particularly of where there has been war. She's very sensitive to those things, and we've explored in previous conversations if there's something, some connection there. Because we all have our own sensitivities, our own things that we gravitate towards.
It's amazing. Gettysburg is particularly amazing. I don't consider myself a sensitive. I'm not sensitive. And
quite insensitive.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well.
And
the gentleman, Sam, what happened?
A couple more drinks. And
then he starts weeping.
Okay.
Don't make me cry. But walking across the field where pickets charge, you can absolutely feel the energy in that place, and everybody felt it. It was just an amazing experience to be able to walk across there. But you would stop, and the guide would say, "Okay, on this spot, 3,000 people died," and you can feel it. It's thick. It's thick.
It's in the air. It's in the frequency.
There.
It's in the
energy. It's a pretty remarkable place. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to take a delicious deep breath, if you wish, a sip of water if you have it, or wine. Always has to be delicious. And we're going to come back and continue this wonderful, wonderful discourse and conversation.
Hi, this is Marianne Morrison. Join me, uncensored and live, with entertaining and provocative guests, from celebrities to world-renowned entrepreneurs, with hot topics and hot talk. Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. High Definition Digital Radio, broadcasting to the world. Only on the Chenstani Broadcasting Network.
Chenstani.
Hello, my name is Anthony Teresa, owner and producer of Blue Night Recording Studio in beautiful Orange County, California, just outside Los Angeles. As a guitarist, vocalist, bassist, session player, producer, and engineer, I have either played or recorded on over 400 CD projects. Let me tell you, it's not easy to record your own music. My goal is to help you to be the best you can be behind the mic and in the tracking room. We'll get the best possible sounds from your voice and instruments. Do you need musicians? I've got them. The top session players in Southern California and Los Angeles. Let's make your recording project a reality. You can contact me by phone at 949-338-0293. That's 949-338-0293. Or contact me at email at catduo@earthlink.net. Looking forward to hearing from you. Take care and have a great week.
Just to be you, owner and chef of Giovanna's Restaurant. You are broadcasting live from Giovanna's on Juntanic Broadcast Network. High definition digital radio broadcasting to the world.
Okay, everyone, welcome back. You asked some really good questions. That was the owner, Divino, yeah.
Outgoing message.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Diana from Working Things Out, here doing another wonderful show with Dan and Larry, Larry and Dan. I like to just mix it up a little bit, you know?
And
we're talking about all things intuitive and paranormal and the history of how we all got interested in this field. A lot of people don't know this about me, but I wasn't always intuitive, or at least I didn't think I was, and I wasn't always doing psychic work. I was, more into the atheist, agnostic, vacillating back and forth. But when I was very, very young, my parents, or my mother, was very religious, and they were almost like that cult religion, that Pentecostal religion, where, you know, I don't want to offend anybody, but
speaking in tongues,
yes,
handling
yes.
of snakes.
And well, we didn't have snakes in the Bronx, but
juggling of dwarves,
I believe. But there were demons in basements.
Were there dwarves in the basement?
And let me tell you, it was for a little kid. My mom passed away, and I love her very much, but I told her, not a good thing to do to a kid. And she apologized, because, you know, you don't bring a kid to an exorcism.
Really?
Really. You know? And we saw the most frightening, like, I don't know, I never saw or felt anything except, like, you know, what people were reacting to. And the speaking in tongue nonsense, you know? I mean, I thought it was the Spanish, you know? I don't know, because I'm bilingual. I'm like, but I don't understand that. And so that really turned me off to anything spiritual, what I thought was spiritual. But really, it was religion that it turned me off to. And
well, it was the Pentecostals that turned you off.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it was that particular, you know, just it was just very frightening. But the good thing, the gift I got out of it is I was able to sing. You know, I learned how to sing. And
what,
you know,
from all the screaming? Is that
yeah,
how you
like,
learned?
Oh, stop it, stop it. Hallelujah. But no, I became, atheist, and then that didn't last very long. Then, whatever, here I am. So here I am, interested in the whole paranormal stuff. And yes, I watched The Exorcist 1,000 times, and because I wanted to get over the fear.
That's
I like
great
to confront.
Movie,
it's a wonderful
awesome
movie and a wonderful book.
Very uplifting.
Let me tell you, it's a very funny.
Linda Blair.
It's a very funny, well-written, frightening movie. I mean, they had the most incredible actors, you know.
Right.
I watched it to get over my own trauma, but I also found it through the years to be very funny movie, like a very interesting, witty.
Very interesting sense of humor you have, Hannah.
Yes, I'm just hilarious. I'm the cutest thing you've ever seen.
I just rent wedding pressures and I laugh at those.
No, I rented just to watch The Omen, too.
Omen's
oh, my God, hilarious.
Oh, The
too.
Omen is excellent.
It
I
is.
Love when the pane of glass slips off of that truck and cuts the guy's
yes,
head
off. And that's it just falls off, that fake hat, the fake head.
An excellent scene.
Yeah, I really do enjoy watching horror films. But I don't like slasher movies. But back to you guys, because it's about you today. So I want to find out each, you know, individually, again, whoever wants to start. So if you have yourself, I know that, Larry, you mentioned you had a very, very personal experience, you know, growing up with this female energy. Dan, what about you? I mean, you've done investigations. I know you're very curious about it. Have you?
I've never had any kind of experience like that either with a spirit or it's been a long time since I have any girl in my bed stroke my hair.
Oh, excuse me.
But,
that's sad, Dan. I've got a few numbers I can give you after the show if you want.
Oh, well, listening, Dan is available. Dan Sturgis, paranormal.
What a handsome young man, by the way.
Quite handsome. Quite handsome, I have to tell you. I am surrounded by two handsome men.
All right.
Too. We miss Belle.
I'm sorry. What was the question? I've had no experience.
We lost track. We were looking into each other's eyes.
We got into my sex life, and it just stalled, came to a screeching halt. But I've been in the room when people have had experiences,
mm-hmm.
and I've watched them perceive this experience, and I have never myself. I've never seen a ghost. I have perceived things on investigations where I've heard footsteps.
Mm-hmm.
In the room at the merchant's house. A bunch of people heard the footsteps going on, but I've never seen an apparition. I've never kind of had any kind of communication with somebody from the other side or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, it doesn't mean that I don't believe that is possible.
Let me ask you a question. This is a personal theory I have.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you would agree that, you know, like anybody else, you know, incarnate beings, incarnate spirits, are scared of us just as much as we are scared of them or scared of other people. I always believe that there are some people that just can scare ghosts. And I know our listening audience can't see Dan
mm-hmm.
right now, but he is he's a big guy.
He's a force.
Yeah.
I just love walking with you, Dan. I just love sitting with you. It's just
I love sitting with you too, Dan.
And you're a warm guy. You're definitely a warm guy. But do you think that your physical presence might intimidate?
I can't speak for. I certainly can't speak for a ghost. Or a spirit.
unless we can capture one on the mic, that's possible.
It's funny you say that because you know at the merchant's house it did take about 6 months before we started getting. Any kind of activity.
Perhaps they were getting used to you.
Mm. Getting used to us. And you've been on an investigation with
me.
I try and keep it friendly and light.
Right,
joke around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And we seem to have a lot more positive experience. But sure, the possibility, why not?
Yeah,
why
I've also noticed that when you go in with like a group of people, you get far less evidence than if you go in with one or two people.
What do you think? What do you attribute that to? What do you think?
I literally think it's the same thing like with living people that
mm-hmm.
you know the spirits can be intimidated. You know if it's just like sort of a one on one, they may feel more comfortable to make some kind of contact
and
if it's a group of people there.
This is a great subject too because when you think of like a spirit or a ghost or whatever you want to call it, it's really. We should call these people without a body.
That's right.
Because they are people. Their personality, they don't get any smarter. They don't get any less smart.
Mm-hmm. They don't become evil.
I mean, if somebody's a jackass when they're alive,
they're going to be a jackass.
Right. And
we're calling the jackass. Would you like to say a word on the mic?
It's the internet. You can say whatever you want.
Okay.
It's internet radio. Almost anything we want. We keep it clean here.
I will. But these are people. So could you imagine, you know, 10 or 15 people coming into your home?
Right.
If mm-hmm. you're still there,
mm-hmm.
or
That's
you
right.
feel that you're still there, and then they start talking like you can't hear or you don't speak English, and going,
right.
please give me a sign
right.
of your presence. It's ridiculous.
And everyone's looking at you. You know,
they ask you to perform.
Right.
And it's
right.
also
so you're bound to
feel intimidated. You also feel, you know, I mean, I could imagine. I'm not a ghost psychologist, but, you know, who are you to tell me to perform?
Exactly.
I'm not a clown.
Not only that,
I'm a ghost.
But oftentimes, this is, I think, also why, you know, like, people that will call you into their homes who have been experiencing activity, you'll go in and you might not get anything. Even though the owners of the home who...
Experience it all the time, yeah.
Right, or who are experiencing it all the time are saying that this is happening, but you're not getting any evidence of that. It could simply be that there's a comfort factor there
mm-hmm.
between
mm-hmm.
the spirit... And the person that's living there, especially if they're related in some way, if they're relatives.
Mm-hmm.
I went on an investigation once of my aunt's house that belonged to my grandfather. And when we were on that investigation, I had two teams, one that I was on and there was another team investigating of people that were unrelated to me.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that we had come into contact with my grandfather. We were getting a lot of responses
mm-hmm.
through EMF meters, through our recorders. But the other team wasn't getting anything.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Whenever I spoke, we would get a response. Whereas if anyone else spoke, there would be no response. So I feel that there's, as I said, there's a comfort factor between the spirit and the person that is there.
Yeah.
You have to establish that.
That's true. There's so many different theories. I mean, I could also imagine that there are more the sensitives, right? Like our friend Mr. Fleming.
Chris
Fleming. Hi, Chris. I understand that he gets a lot of responses, and that he does psychic work as well.
Chris, I've done a number of investigations with Chris, and I'm happy to say he's become a good friend. And
yes, he mentioned you on Facebook.
He's a great guy. He's a great guy, and he is an EVP magnet. He really is.
Mm-hmm.
He gets stuff where it's remarkable, and I'm a big skeptic when, and I have to be right there and mm-hmm. see this, and I have stood next to him. And he has gotten EVP.
Right.
And I don't get anything on my recorder, right. And he gets... It's amazing.
It's amazing because...
There's some people that just have that energy.
Yeah,
that
was
whatever
I was
it is,
to say that.
They
are
know,
able to tap into that frequency.
Another thing to bring up, though, is that a discarnate spirit, or could that be some part of Chris?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Which is equally as amazing.
That's
right.
Interesting
but
theory.
Is that a spirit, or is that some kind of PK that Chris is
supposing
is happening on his recorders?
PK is psychokinesis.
Yes,
by
you answered my. Wow, I think you're a little intuitive yourself because you just answered my question. Because I love to throw these terminologies out there, but many of us don't know what these words are, what the equipment is. But I wanted to ask you a different question. I'm going to be taking a break in 2 minutes, but have you guys ever worked with demonologists specifically?
Well, you know, I wanted to comment. You were mentioning, not The Shining, you were mentioning The Exorcist.
Which is, Shining is another one of my favorite movies,
it's
and I do the song. I sing the song now with Larry Luger. I'm going to sing it tonight, Midnight, the Stars in You, Ray Noble.
Uh-huh.
And
oh.
Al Boley. And that's one of my favorite songs on YouTube and all that stuff.
That's my favorite song ever.
I sing it.
I can't wait to hear it.
Yes, and I might put it on for you after the show.
All right.
Yeah.
But that brings up an interesting topic, because there's a lot of, you know, when you talk about demons, there's a lot of theories out there. Some people, like Lloyd, for example, Lloyd Auerbach, just really doesn't believe in demons at all. That
can you
there
please
is
introduce
such a
us to Lloyd?
Lloyd Auerbach is a... He's quite a renowned, very well-respected parapsychologist.
Mm-hmm.
He originally got his degree from JFK University out in California. He teaches classes at the, what's the name? I've got my certification from it.
San Francisco.
It must have been quite traumatic.
Here, Berkeley. HC something Institute.
Right.
You'll remember during the break.
As Dan had mentioned, this new parapsychology program, Lloyd will be a part of that,
uh-huh,
as I understand.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So he's a great guy. He's been on a lot of shows. He's written a lot of books. He's amazing.
And today is his birthday.
And
happy
today
birthday.
Is his birthday.
Happy
birthday.
Well, I feel like I know you, Lloyd. I don't know.
I think he's turning 30 today.
Yeah, he's 2 years old.
I'm
only kidding. 2 years older than I am. It's hard to believe.
Oh, my goodness.
But the whole area of
demonology,
you know, demonology is very interesting.
Very
now,
interesting. It's one of my favorite topics.
You know, Lloyd's take is that, you know, there's no such thing as demons. There are just there, but there is such a thing as sort of
ghosts.
Badass ghosts. In other words, you know, you get a sort of serial killer. You get a Jack the Ripper that becomes a ghost. This is a very evil guy who is now in incarnate form.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wanna explore this more because I have my own perspective on it. And we're gonna take a quick break, another delicious breath and another sip of water, but there's a lot of things
water.
To do.
Sip of water, yeah.
Water.
Yeah, water.
Water. And I want Larry and Dan, I wanna talk more about this because it's one of my most fascinating subjects and things that people always attribute hauntings to. They automatically assume the darker side. Okay, so we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to the Chantani Broadcasting Network.
High definition digital stereo.
Broadcasting to the world. Would you like to know what's going on in the Italian American community and stay in touch, even if you don't live in Little Italy? There's a way to do it. There's a great newspaper out called GIA, the Giornale Italo Americano. This newspaper is distributed nationally and comes out weekly, and you can subscribe by going to their website at www.giamondo.com, that's G-I-A, mondo.com or call 718-592-2196. Check out GIA for all your information on what's happening in the Italian-American community. It's published in both Italian and English. It's a great way to read and follow up and practice your Italian as well. Check out GIA on the internet at www.giamondo.com. GIA newspaper, the Italian-American newspaper for today.
Hi there, I'm Tim McGraw. One of the great things about music is how it brings people together. Kids like to hang out, listen to music, and talk about what's hot and what's not on the music scene. When playing instruments and singing provides a way for young people to get together and interact in a cooperative and respectful way. Kids who play in school ensembles understand that every part has to work together for the result to be the magical art called music. Your local school music programs provide a golden opportunity for your child to experience the rewards of learning music. Why not pay a visit to the music teacher to find out what's going on? Get your kids involved with school music.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, Gibson Musical Instruments, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.
Hi, this is Robbie Russell from the Garage Mania Show.
This is Nurse Cheryl.
Listen to Garage Mania Radio on the
Chitani Broadcasting Network.
High definition digital audio. Broadcasting to the world!
Welcome back, everyone. That was an abrupt ending to that. This is Working Things Out, and this is Diana with Dan and Larry, Larry and Dan, talking about paranormal stuff, all kinds of topics related to the world that is beyond our normal definition. Because to be honest with you, I have issues with the word supernatural and paranormal and this and that, you know, because it's all one and the same. It's just that we're in this physical body, and we have five senses. Most of us have five senses that are functioning, and we're able to perceive a certain amount through these senses, whether it's sight, sound, taste, touch, and, you know, there's a spectrum. Right? There's this whole spectrum in the universe.
Yeah, and you're saying you don't like the word paranormal.
I don't dislike it.
Supernatural.
Supernatural. I don't dislike them. It's just that, does it accurately describe what we are trying to describe? I mean,
paranormal, I mean, everything at one point until we figured out what it was paranormal.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say.
I think there were things
sunrise
we just...
was paranormal.
Exactly. Eclipses.
Yeah. That's right. I
mean, you know, solar, lunar, and everything in between.
Having a baby or anything, something growing. It's certainly when you were born, Dan, that was paranormal.
Oh, because it was so wonderful, Dan. That's
I'm
why.
Go home.
No, because you're so wonderful. It's a compliment.
Yeah, thank you.
I was more referring to his size.
Yeah, but he's just so wonderful.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
wonderful. Yeah. But I wanted to just because I don't want to lose this topic that.
Demon.
Yes, spooky. Because again, because of my background, that was what we were exorcising from people. I was a kid, but
Pentecostals.
Yeah, you know, and the fundamentalists, or whatever you want to call them, that was everything was attributed to that, you know. Of course, there was a lot of mental illness, a lot of, you know, other stuff going on there, but because that kind of pre-programmed me to be more sensitive to that, later on in my life I started having these very strange experiences where, you know, I would have night terrors or sleep paralysis. We discussed this before, Larry.
Right.
But the sleep paralysis not only has hallucinations, but what I think were, you know, almost demonic energy to it, where I felt something near me it was dark, and
right.
It was not a ghost, it was not a, you know, it was definitely something intrusive that wanted to incorporate itself into me. And
how do you know that?
I just, the vibration, like,
yeah.
I
felt it.
I think people are conditioned to feel that way.
I'm
not a demon guy, so I...
thank God. But I was...
I can be.
No, you don't want to be. But you want to, you know, I, for example, it took me years to figure out that I'm an empath. That's sort of, and Dom is an empath too, I believe. Where, if anything, we all have a sort of a frequency or of sensitivity. I'm the type of person that can feel most people's energies and animals and even like substances. I can feel, oh my God, this chair was made out of anger. It was made out of love. And so I was an empath. I hate those angry chairs. As in fact, Alice in Chains has a great song called Angry Chair. One of my favorite songs in the world. I have to tell you, I love Alice in Chains. Lynn Staley, rest in peace. So I remember that I was able to feel people's energies, and I angry people, nasty people, evil people. I mean, I can sense an evil person a mile away. I'm very sensitive to it. And there's something, there's a distinction between an evil person and what I think is a demonic energy. I mean, the scale is indescribable.
Well, the sort of technical definition is that, you know, a demonic, if they exist, is something that was never human. You know,
right. It never was a body. It never was a human being.
Something that is just pure evil energy, never took human form.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference.
And some people
and if you read, what is his name? M. Scott Peck. I always get his name wrong. M. Scott Peck, The Road Less Traveled, or his next book, which again I can't remember because I have the memory of a retarded elephant. It was all about the difference between demonic evil and human evil, and how those are not the same thing. Hitler, for example, was not an example of demonic evil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone says he's evil, but there's a human evil that needs to be recognized.
Yes, understood.
Which is very different than demonic evil.
Right, absolutely. I also think that, I mean, some people, I'm not an angelologist, if that's such a word. People that, like, you know, into angels and stuff like that, and that believe that they're fallen angels that, you know, never, you know, that just went into, you know,
right.
Lucifer, there's something called the Lucifer group, you know, the falling, where these...
I believe it's called the Republican Party.
we do not do politics in this show. We do not do politics.
Sorry.
That is my rule.
I just cannot help myself.
But anyway, the Lucifer Rebellion, it's called.
Right,
if anybody's ever read, if anybody's ever read the Urantia book or any of those things. So anyway, they believe that, whatever the theories are, I don't know definitively. I mean, I'm just telling you that you were saying, Dan, how do I know? I don't know certainly for sure, but I also know, like I said, if I'm somewhere with somebody next to me, I mean, I can tell this person is like an animal torturer. I can tell this person beats his wife, or you know. I just you can feel it, you know.
Right.
And then versus something that's non-corporeal, where you just feel so invaded beyond words, so dirty. And I talk to people that have had these experiences that, and also, you know, this whole world of paranormal research. You know, when you start looking at some of the shows out there that are, you know, currently on the air, and you know, like what is it, Paranormal State, or
Paranormal State,
Adventures,
is, they,
you know?
They deal a lot. Mm-hmm. It's I mean, what they're doing is great TV. Some might say,
mm-hmm.
Not necessarily
fun TV.
It's fun TV, but it's not a paranormal investigation. I mean, I don't know many paranormal investigators that would bring holy water and bless people and be frightened of things that they absolutely positively can't prove, you know, that there's demons in this house. And it seems to be every place they go is a demon.
Yeah,
it's amazing. And
well, you know, history, I believe the host history, the show, I guess the producer, whoever he is, I guess that's, again, his background, his history is more towards that. So he's going to lean towards those investigations.
Well, it's also their background is making money. And I mean, they have to. That's their business. That's their business. And what are you going to tune in? You going to tune in to Larry and I sitting in the merchant's house for 2 or 3 hours where nothing happens? Or are you going to tune in to a guy who's doing an exorcism?
And also Ghost Adventures is another show which focuses a lot on fun stuff. I find it very interesting.
Yeah,
I think
take a very provocative,
on the whole thing.
That's why they're there.
And they're very entertaining. I watch them every Friday because they're on Travel Channel, and I love working out to it. Don't ask me why.
You just like Zach.
That's right.
Well, I met him.
You like the tattoos.
I met him at the Union Square. I was there with a friend of mine, and they happened to be there, and we talked for a few minutes. And
at the coffee shop?
No, the other place, in the same block. The Blue Water Grill.
Oh.
I met him there, and they came to me. They were very nice. They were very gracious. I loved the three of them. They were awesome. But I wasn't doing the show at the time. So what happened was, but I do. I have to tell you that it makes me want to work out when I want. I don't know why. I don't know why. I'm doing push-ups.
That's because Zach has biceps the size of your head.
That's probably why. I'm like, I've got two more push-ups. So.
But I mean, something else I'd like to comment on. Just going.
That says about something about my dating life when I'm home Friday night working out. Okay.
Just commenting on paranormal state. I mean, there's a difference between, as you mentioned, Dan, an investigation and an exorcism, or a clearing.
Yes.
Which is something that I've done quite a few times.
Yes, and feng shui does a lot of clearing, and I do feng shui, yeah.
When you go in, for a clearing, you're not there to prove that there are ghosts. And quite frankly, the majority of the clearings that I've done is really what I would call sort of a placebo ritual.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The person, the homeowner or whoever's calling you in is freaked out. They believe there's something in their house. And they want you to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether or not I personally believe there actually is something there is irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
This person believes that, and if I can do something that I feel is a valid ritual, I'm not gonna pull the wool over their eyes or do something ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll do a valid cleansing ritual.
Yes,
if that just helps them, then that's
your
valid.
Job is done.
Right,
absolutely.
Itself.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense.
Who are we to think that we could control a spirit and say, look, you have to leave now, or they're gonna leave and never come back? By burning some sage or whatever. I'm on the same page as you, Larry.
Well, I do burn sage, and can I tell you something?
Yeah?
I'll tell you. It stinks.
It smells. It's very herbaceous. I don't know if that's a word either. But I do believe in this only because I personally had something follow me.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw anything. I mean, I'm not somebody that's sensitive normally to see things. I just perceive emotionally and physically. But there's a restaurant in Little Italy that I went to that I loved the place, and I happened to see something that I thought was unusual, and I confirmed it with the owner. The place was a funeral home. I did not know that. And I had been going there for years, and I saw something and a person or energy. And I went home, and my family was away, and I was alone in a two-story house, and things started happening that normally never happened, and things were falling on me. Like, this thing hit me in the head, the shampoo bottle. There was a bang on the door. It was just me and the cats. The cats were freaked out. They're very cool cats.
Right.
And a friend of mine called me out of nowhere. She's a sensitive, and she told me, Diana, I have to tell you, you've been on my mind. Were you somewhere weird lately? Something followed you. And that's all I needed to hear as confirmation. And I said, yes.
That doesn't necessarily mean that's evil.
No, not at all.
Okay,
no. No, but I didn't want it following me because, it was scaring my boys, my cats.
Right.
And me, for crying out loud. Nobody wants to get hit in the head with a shampoo bottle.
No.
I'm constantly being hit in the head.
I have no shampoo bottle. I have no shampoo in my house.
And
that's
I think it wanted.
That's just the bars I hang out in.
If I were to make a guess at whatever the energy was, I think it wanted it. Had acknowledgement that it existed.
Right.
The person, my friend, my colleague, told me that my frequency was light enough that they got confused with somewhere they wanted to be. And so I did my sage burning, and I said, I'm sorry, I'm not who you think you are, and you're scaring my cats, so you have to leave. And
but do you think it's the sage or it's the belief in your sage?
I think it's the intention.
Yeah.
And I think the sage
burn like a sock, and if you really believe, no, I'm serious. If you really
I know what you mean.
That is
right.
If you
believe there is significance to the sock burning,
I think that
especially my socks.
I mean, I guess if you were going to do a statistical research study and go back to the Native Americans and see what works and what doesn't work,
right.
I would say that if I would have burned a sock, I would put my house on fire, number one.
And
also that it probably would not go away. I think that it was a combination of the intention.
Well, but that's to Dan's point, that's because you don't believe a sock would have any
right.
effect.
You believe that a sage or or anything. Or
anything. Right. An incense, a regular incense.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's right.
But whatever it was, it worked. I don't care what it was that I used in it. I'd rather use sage than a sock.
Because the sage was a medium.
My sock.
I'm herbaceous.
Well, actually, can I tell you a little story which of a clearing that I did? So there was someone, actually, that I work with who knows what I do on the side and asked me to come to their house because she felt that there was a presence there that she was completely freaked out by. She was completely uncomfortable, you know, to the verge where she was on the verge of leaving the house. So I said, sure. And I really did not at first I really did not believe from what she was telling me that this was legitimate. I felt that it was in her head. But then I started doing some research into the home, and I discovered that the home was actually built by this guy who was an editor of the New York Times, a copy editor at the New York Times in the early 1900s. He built the house. This was, this was in the deep Brooklyn where it was just the countryside at the time.
Mm-hmm.
He built the house to be his retirement home. But soon after moving in, I can't remember the dates, but he moved in, and then within a few months, he contracted bronchial pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, the treatment for bronchial pneumonia was awful. We also did research into this. They would put balloons. They would do cupping, which was hot cups. They would do bloodletting.
Oh my God!
And then he died. After all of this.
Yeah, the cupping.
And so then I started thinking, well, maybe there's something to this. So we went in. We did a cleansing. We didn't actually pick up any evidence or anything, but that's not really why we were there.
Mm-hmm.
We were there
mm-hmm.
to do the cleansing.
Right.
And a few months later, I said, how are things going? She said, it's amazing. It's like this huge weight was lifted from me. I can now grow plants and flowers where I never could before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like there's now life in the house. And now she's pregnant. She never felt comfortable enough to allow herself to, So it was really a life-changing event.
And that's something to say about what you guys do. The fact that you're able to at least, whatever, if it's real to them or a real in itself, to provide relief and healing.
Yeah, if you can make somebody who's got a fear or a phobia that's not necessary, a cucamonga phobia.
Oh, I have a cucamonga phobia.
Something that.
Oh my God!
I'm a cucamonga file myself.
Me too.
But if you can get them over that phobia or that fear, whether or not there's a spirit in the house,
it's irrelevant almost.
Who gives a heck?
It's
a good thing.
That's also what we do.
That's
you're the greatest, Larry.
Oh my God! I love that.
A swell guy.
We're gonna take our last break, and then I want to ask you a question. You may not know the answer to, but we had a guest last week. One of my favorite people too. I have a lot of favorite people. James from Ghost and Guitar. He's a musician that plays in the subways. He had an experience that I kind of want to ask you guys about, but I'm gonna keep it mysterious until we come back from the break.
Another delicious
breath. I love that.
Whether it be water or wine,
yes.
Sage or socks.
Hi, this is Andy Troy. Listen to my show on Mondays from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Chintani Broadcasting Network, high-definition digital radio broadcasting to the world.
Jazz, check out These Things We Dig, a new CD by jazz, sax, flute, and clarinet recording artist James L. Dean on Sexton Records. James L. Dean has recorded 7 CDs for Sexton Records and appears regularly in the New York metropolitan area, including the great venue, the Whiskey Cafe. These Things We Dig features some of the best jazz and bebop styles, with James fronting the band, complemented by such great players as Mike Fonella, Phil Jones, Bob De Benedette, Ron Naspo, and Wayne Duncan. You can get this new CD from Sexton Records by going to www.sexton.com. That's CEXTON.com. You can find out more about James L. Dean at www.jldeanorchestra.com. For the best in jazz, it's Sexton Records, the audiophile jazz record label. Sexton.com.
Annie, cent'anni. That means 100 years.
Hey, vero, cent'anni, 100 years, Rose. And thanks to Johnny Mandolin and Cent'anni Broadcasting for letting us get you involved to remember the Triangle Factory Fire Centennial Memorial this year, 2011.
It's coming up on March 25th, 100 years ago, the fire that happened at the corner of Washington and Green, downtown Manhattan, New York City. 146 workers' lives were lost.
That's right, and mostly young girls, Rose, mostly young Italian and Jewish garment workers. Please come to our website, www.rememberthetrianglefire.org. Get involved and help us make a permanent memorial to these young garment workers and the legacy of worker safety, immigrant rights.
We need to all remember what came from this fire. Join us March 25th, 2011.
Join Workers United and the Fire Coalition. www.rememberthetrianglefire.org.
You are listening to the Cent'anni Broadcasting Network, C-E-N-T-A-N-N-I Broadcasting.com, in high definition digital stereo.
One of my favorite tunes, welcome back, everyone. We're back at Working Things Out. We're at the tail end of our show. How quickly time goes when you're having a good time. And we're with Dan and Larry and Dan, and we're talking about all kinds of good things.
Hey, Larry.
Hello, Dan. The man.
So we are, I wanted to ask you a question before we went on break. I told you that there was a friend who had an experience. I don't know if you guys ever heard of this before, but he said that pretty recently, and I'm telling you, he's pretty grounded, you know, just disclaimers, you know, that he started experiencing something where he would notice that, you know, where you would normally see, like, your own shadow walking in the street, there would be multiple shadows. And it's happened on several occasions. So I'm wondering if you guys ever heard of that before. Maybe you can give us any insight at all.
You know, you're in New York City, so
I know. And he knows
any number of things.
Yeah. So, but you know,
I never heard of that phenomenon.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard shadow people.
Shadows, dark bodies.
But having I mean, there are times when you can have multiple shadows.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
The multiple angle lighting. That's a different
thing. I don't know.
So I think this was definitely a phenomenon where he, you know, several occasions saw, you know, literally multiple shadows and not because of a light source or anything. I thought it was kind of interesting. I was wondering if it was something, you know.
No, I don't think it's a common phenomenon or a known phenomenon.
I haven't heard of that.
Yeah.
And I think the odds are it's probably easier explained in a normal way rather than looking for a paranormal answer.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay. If there's no other paranormal activity that surrounds this, that, you know, I mean, we'd have to know more.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We would have to know more about the context of
the circumstances.
This. So any projects you guys are working on that you want to share with us?
Well, I starting this month, we'll be doing an investigation, at least one investigation every month at the Merchant's House Museum. And there's a journalist, his name is Scott Stifler, and he'll be chronicling all the investigations we do, and he'll have a weekly blog that he'll update every week. And after every investigation, you can go to sturgisparanormal.com.
Sturgis Paranormal for you. And then, Larry, if somebody wants to reach you.
Acme Paranormal.
Yes. So, and you guys help people that are having some interesting issues kind of figure out what's going on.
No, I do mostly the historic places. I haven't done really a lot of, although I've done them. I'm working on a business. Somebody having a problem in their at a business right now. I'm helping them out. But I do mostly the historic places, and Dom does a lot of the homes, the private homes.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Larry does a lot of the private homes. And
so, am I hearing that we're going to have another roundtable, and we're going to have Dom next time with us?
That would be great.
Yes. Dom.
Yeah, we'll just go to his house and do it for
him. Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
We're coming over, Dom.
Him and his kids.
We're on our way. I want to thank you so much for being here with me today. I had the most wonderful time.
It was fun.
It's laughter and joy. It was delicious.
It was delicious.
Yeah, all the wine was quite delicious.
And the water and the deep breath. And
Johnny is coming on, Johnny Mandolin, his show is coming on, Val and Betty coming after that. And then I want to tell everybody that no matter what's going on, you're never alone. And we're literally never alone. And if you have any questions about any
of
our services,
even when you're in the shower.
Especially when you're in the shower. And check workingthingsout.com for any questions. I want to thank everybody for listening and tuning in. Thank you so much, and you're never alone.
Thanks, Diana.
Thanks.
Thank you. Oh,